Whoops, Dad, I'm gonna put that over there. Okay, we'd like to get the meeting, a call to order. Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Gilliland.
Here.
Councilmember Handy Peters.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Mathusik. Commissioner Nivens. Councilman Emter.
Here.
Commissioner Curry.
Here.
Vice Mayor McGurk.
Here.
Mayor Kelly.
Here.
Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Vice Mayor Long.
Here.
Councilmember Daniels. Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Denny's.
Here.
Councilmember Cusack.
Here.
Councilmember Northey.
Here.
Councilmember Wagner.
Here.
Commissioner Basso. Mayor Sowell. Councilmember Saylor.
Here.
Councilmember Perone.
Here.
Mayor Jennings. Mayor Gibson.
Here.
Mayor Ardell.
Here.
Commissioner Shoup.
Here.
Linda Costello.
Here.
Clay Irvin is excused. Phyllis Blaze.
Here.
Bob Stork.
Here.
And we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the time for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to speak? Okay, bringing it back to the board for the consent agenda. Do I have a big? Is that better? Okay, thank you. All right. With the consent agenda, does anyone have anything they wish to be pulled, or do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Okay. Second. And second. All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to the consent agenda. All right, first we have the Central Florida MPO Alliance report. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. My mistake. Forgot my glasses. All right, first, action items. Okay. I need his glasses. Yeah. All right. Review and approval of Resolution 2014 adopting the 2014-2015 Unified Planning Work Program.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. The UPWP, of course, is our two-year work program, and this particular UPWP will begin taking effect in July of this year. And it was originally presented as a draft to the TPO board in February, and we adjusted the document at that point based on direction from the board to include the phase two of the US 1792 CIP. And then we went ahead and submitted that to the Department of Transportation for review. It also gets reviewed by Federal Transit Administration and Federal Highway. We did receive comments back from all of those agencies last week, and we have made the adjustments that had been requested. Most of the adjustments were very minor in nature, adding some notes, some footnotes, some additional detail under the administrative task. One item that is probably worth noting is there was also a request to adjust the amount of funding total for the FTA funding from 208,000 down to 205,000. So it was a very, very minor adjustment, and we did that and affected the One Transit TD task. Otherwise, all of the administrative comments have been incorporated, and I would be looking for approval or willing to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Very good. B, review and approval of Resolution 2014 amending the 2010-11 and 2011-12 Unified Planning Work Program.
Right. This is another planning work program. When we have federal highway funds, the planning funds that we get, those are utilized in the existing UPWP, but the FTA funds stay with the original UPWP. So federal highway funds, we de-obligate them and we put them into the new program, but federal transit funds stay with that original UPWP. So we have unspent funds from a prior UPWP in the transit element, FTA funds, and The original task was to transition to choice ridership, and that was back when we knew SunRail was coming online and we knew that there was a bunch of activity to try and look at a changing transit market. Since SunRail is about to take effect and the economy is kind of limited VOTRAN expansion opportunities, the transit agency has asked us to redesignate that task to general planning activities so that they can use their GPC to assist them in a variety of transit assessments that they need. So they're asking us to sort of broaden the scope of that task and let them use those funds in the ways that they need to now.
Okay, any questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, motion to approve and second. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, next we have the review and approval of Resolution 2014 amending the 2014 through 2019 Transportation Improvement Program.
The Department of Transportation has asked us to add two tasks to our existing TIP, and these are both for railroad crossing improvements. One is on Mason Avenue and one is on Dunlawton Avenue. These are not requests that we have made that are associated with pedestrian access or anything. These are our improvements and funding for the railroad access items.
Okay, once again, any questions of Lois? Do I have a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay. With John Mason. All right, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. All right, and finally, review and approval of Resolution 2014 changing the name of the Volusia Transportation Planning Organization to the River to Sea TPO.
So this board has already taken action on this item last August, and we thought at the time we would do that in sync with the actual reapportionment activities and the execution of those particular agreements. But the development and the review of those agreements has taken a lot longer than I had anticipated. We have a variety of tasks, like the long-range plan and the community transportation survey, that involve a lot of outreach to the public and a lot of involvement with business organizations and expanding some of our presence into the expanded planning area, and it would not be beneficial for us to start those activities and then change our name in between. And so what we're requesting is that we go ahead and formally change that name today, and we were recommended by our legal counsel to go ahead and do that in a form of a resolution so that we have something that we can file with the clerk of courts and we can send along with our contracts and bank statements and things to show that we are using a new name.
Okay, Pat?
Yeah, we have all of the vote is in, correct? I mean, there's not any issue with this group and combining, it's really more administrative, correct?
It's just okay. Getting the agreements done.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I would move approval of that item.
Second.
All right, any other further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, now we're all members of the River to Sea TPO. So.
And I would point out that at each of your settings there, we have reusable water or insulated bottles for you with our new logo.
Very good.
Okay.
So is the chairperson, does Nancy get the old sign? Can somebody take that out to her car, please?
Yeah. Hey, actually, I can reuse that for Lillian Place, paint it over. Okay, very good. All right, thank you so much. Moving on to presentations, we have the TPO Community Transportation Survey Campaign kickoff today.
That's right, and we have Dennis Arigas here who is helping us with the marketing and outreach part of this. And so he's going to go ahead and take you through how we're going to solicit some public feedback and then also try to increase awareness of the TPO and what we do.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Erics. I'm with Clear Light Communications. I am really pleased to be the first speaker before the new River to Sea TPO. You know what? Congratulations on the name change. I think it's great. And also, congratulations on this campaign. I've been working with staff the last several months on it, and it's an awesome campaign. We're going to invite you all to roll up your sleeves and get involved as ambassadors. It's very important. I'm a little bit of a different type of consultant. I'm a scientist in a previous life turned marketer about 20 years ago. I'm a numbers guy. I think in terms of return on investment, return on marketing investment, multitasking, and being results-oriented. Last year, FDOT hired me and my firm to study the effectiveness of public awareness of five MPOs and TPOs in South Florida. They figured they've been spending millions of dollars in outreach through the years, and they asked the million-dollar my company to answer the million-dollar question: how many people have ever heard of an MPO or TPO? And we did that by a telephone survey, statistically valid. You know what? Does anybody want to? You know, it's quiz time. Out of what percentage of people do you think have heard of a TPO on an average basis?
Two.
Did I hear two? Does anybody want to raise two?
12%.
How many people are in this room?
In this room. Well, no, here's 100 rack cards for this new campaign. A little bit less than 4% of on average have even heard of a TPO. That's this many who haven't heard of it. And you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. And this campaign that I'm going to be telling you about is really a step in the right direction. Now, when we were setting up this campaign, and I'm really glad, can you go to the next slide? I'm really glad it launches today. Oh. As I mentioned, I think of every campaign as a science experiment. So you all remember your sixth grade science experiments. You do your research, create a hypothesis, and then craft an experiment. Well, I was really fortunate to be able to write a little bit of marketing research into planning this campaign. I didn't come up with it, you know, as an outer towner for the blue. I came and I was able to meet with some key stakeholders. I had some really good dialogue with Team Volusia, meeting with Keith Norton and Denise Mott, and they are completely on board with partners, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit about the partnership aspect of this campaign. And they completely endorsed and really liked the methodology that I want to be about to tell you about. I also talked to Frank Mercer over at Daytona State, and I spent a little bit of time with him. And you know what? He told me about this student, and you know, it was a young father, a new father, and the student was from a very poor family. The kid was, you know, just starting out in life, and he was able to get this scholarship into this kind of air conditioning program where it would have made the whole difference in the kid's life if he was able to get that certification and internship. And it would have given him a career for life. But you know what? The young man had to drop out of the program because of lack of transportation. I'm sure he's never heard of the TPO. I'm sure he never knew that he was able to participate in the process. But there's an example of what we're doing here is very important. Transportation affects everyone's lives. That lack of transportation caused that guy to have a lack of a career. Him and his family may be doomed to a whole lifetime of minimum wage jobs for lack of transportation opportunities. I have I've done a lot of volunteer work. There's a soft spot in my heart for kind of healthy mothers, healthy babies type of programs. I spent some time with Dixie Morgase, who runs the Healthy Starts Coalition of Flagler and Volusia Counties. And do you know that the number one reason that poor women don't get prenatal care is because of lack of transportation? So, we're talking about kind of life and death, career, job issues here. Transportation is really important, and it's important that people participate in the process. So we designed today this multitasking Tell the TPO campaign. It's not only a survey, but it's also a public awareness campaign, and it's going to help to build partnerships and a database for the TPO. You know, it's all about teaming. I think that Keith Norden said, you're taking the wholesale approach. That's exactly what we're doing. We don't have a lot of money in this campaign. We don't have any paid advertising budgeted in this campaign. It's all going to be word of mouth. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be asking chambers of commerce to let their members know, and their members to, so the chambers will disseminate it to their members, and the members will disseminate it to their employees. We have lists of top employers, and we're also going to be really bringing out the heavy guns in this campaign. And the heavy guns in this campaign are all sitting at this table. For the rest of this, I'd like to, instead of referring you to you as board members, I'd like to be thinking of you as River to Sea TPO ambassadors. We have a very simple website that has one purpose. Click the big green button in the middle. It's a short survey. We timed people taking it. The average person should be able to take it in 4 minutes, less than 5 minutes. We want to hear from people. We want to know what they need, what their solutions are. We're really shooting for thousands of responses on this. As a matter of fact, I have this secret desire to come back to you at the end of this campaign and say, this TPO has broken the record for the most people that any MPO in the history of Florida has ever surveyed. That's what I designed this campaign for, to really try to get out into the community. My strategy was to provide tools. We have thousands of these rack cards. We have a very easy-to-use website in English to Spanish. We do have hard copy surveys in English and Spanish. But I have a very limited time here, so I really want to tell you about this unusual ambassador and program. You know, when we were putting together the methodology for this campaign, we were thinking, how can we reach the residents of Daytona Beach? Well, geez, we have elected officials from Daytona Beach here at the table. How can we reach the elected, how can we reach the citizens of Flagler Beach? I had a really good conversation with the mayor of Flagler Beach before the meeting, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, you know what, you only get to be mayor kind of once in your life, and I really want to make all the difference I can. And you know what, transportation touches all of your constituents. And that's why you're all here at this table. You all have constituents. You all have connections. You would have a much easier time to try to penetrate the bureaucracy, for example, of the school board, who is the largest employer in both Volusia and respective in Flagler counties, to try to reach the teachers to get them to take this campaign. A lot of you might have connections or even serve on the board of Daytona State or some of the other universities. We really want to... we want you to use your connections to get the word out on this campaign. Now, my company, Clear Light, we're going to be using Twitter and working with the TPO on Facebook. But we have some interesting programmers that have each coded you, every one of the board members, with a unique link that you'll be getting an email immediately after this meeting. And the link is specific to you. And it's going to say, simply tell the TPO as a live link, but the background of it is going to, you know, the coding will be, I don't know if we have an example of the coding. Oh, yes, you can see in the first bullet there, you won't be showing that to the public. For example, Mayor Long, that would be your link, you know, S4K9, but it would simply be embedded in an email. Tell the TPO, please send this link out in your electronic newsletters and in your list. And then every time someone clicks on that link, we'll get a count. And what I'd like to do is pose a very friendly competition. Now, we can't, you know, we're trying to make this campaign fun. We have a $250 grand prize that we've offered to incentivize students and the general public to take part. But to kind of thank you and invite you to the ambassadors, we have instituted the coveted River to Sea TPO Ambassador Trophy. That will be awarded at the end of this campaign, at the end of July, to the ambassador that that reaches the most. Now think of it, I think there's about 19 board members. If, even if you each were able to go back to your constituencies and get 100, there's 1,900 responses. Broward County just spent a couple of $100,000 on a campaign that reaped 1,150 survey responses. So you know what, if each of you only got 100, there's 1,900. I really want to shoot for numbers that are double that. Please, I really invite you to take this seriously. Transportation affects the lives of people. Only 3 or 4% of people have ever heard of your TPO. Everyone in this room can make a difference. Our next steps, we're taking the wholesale approach. One Voice Volusia, we're going to be speaking to them. There will be representatives of SIFT, 70 different community organizations there. We're working with business community, underserved community. Big John's going to put us on the radio. We're looking for media opportunities for this. And this is also a media opportunity for each of you. Get out there and try to sell this. Tell the TPO campaign. It's going to benefit everyone. The campaign runs 3 months, and 3 months to today, to July 23rd. And we really want to thank you for participating. Any questions? I think there's cards in front of you, and we have 5,000 cards. You may take as many hundreds of the cards with you as you want. There's an info@email address. It comes to the TPO and me. So if you want to reach me, info@tellthetpo.com. I want to conspire with each of you to help you win this. So whatever, if you need a 200-word newsletter article, 150-word this, whatever you need, if you need a presentation before a particular board or community organization or HOA, you tell us what we need, and we'll support you as much as we can in this to help everyone win. Thank you very much.
And Ron has a question.
Yeah, your last slide there.
Can you put the last slide?
That's some good information. We could sure use, but it isn't in our packet.
It's not in your packet?
No.
Not mine.
I'll tell you what. I everything you need is on this card, and we have thousands of these cards, and they have each of these.
All of those addresses on the card?
What we want to drive everyone to is tellthetpo.com.
Oh, in other words, Facebook, which is the most common one in my city.
Well, the Volusia TPO is the Facebook. I will, and your email that you're each getting with your codes will have the social, will have those three.
Most cities are on Facebook. That's the reason I was.
We invite you to share our Facebook. The Volusia TPO is, the River to Sea TPO is going to post on Facebook today. We invite you to share that on your Facebook. We're also doing a tweet today. We invite those of you to retweet that.
Okay, Barb?
Someone already posted it. Someone said that.
He didn't put the link though, so it doesn't get any credit. I'll like it and then make a comment and put the link.
Okay, Barb?
The question is, if we were going to do something like a radio spot, we have a real active radio group in Flagler County, would it be appropriate for Lois to come and sit with one of us, or you, or who?
Absolutely. We'll coordinate any requests, and you know there's a limited amount that's in the scope of services for the consultant, but certainly either myself or one of the staff will be.
Okay, great.
Hey, Lee? That was kind of my question as well. If we have a television or radio that that we deal with as well, just have them call the TPO to set up an interview that they can go and do that? Or?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to sit with Dave Byron if you want me on the morning show. Wherever we can go to get the word out. This is You know, we don't often do a big blitz. We do a lot of public outreach for a small organization, but this is a really huge campaign that we're trying to get out there for. So, yes, any events that you have, we will make sure that somebody is available.
When the TPO came to us and said we wanted to do a survey, and we said, geez, you know, are you willing to do a radioactive survey where anyone who takes it is exposed to the benefits of participating in the process? In other words, a combined survey and public awareness campaign. This was specifically designed to be a catalyst. Instead of just it's a reason to reach out to the public. So it completely lends itself to media events, and we're going to be working through the public involvement department of the TPO staff.
And we'll get the unique links out today so that you can start getting credit and racking up your survey points.
And we're already all on doing it.
I just deleted your post, Pat.
Sorry. All right, looks like we're going to have some real competition to get that award there. So, all right, thank you very much. Any further questions? Okay. All right, thank you so much. Next, we have presentation on Votrien's new website and writer tools. Okay, and Heather?
Heather Blank, thank you very much for having me here. And I'm going to pass out some information. You won't need it for the presentation. It's actually going to be something you can reflect on after I make the presentation. Bob, if you can start that out in that direction. And I have some SunRail brochures I'm just going to pass out in the other direction for you to have. I'm very happy to say that we were able at Votrien to have this website launched using the same organization that worked on the county website. And this organization also worked on the Lynx website. So we're doing as much as we can to have flavors that blend, so to speak. This is new. Any of you who haven't been here yet to our website, please visit us. You will notice that the manner in which we've designed this website is to have built-in redundancy. So at the top here, you'll see some hot topics like news, careers, and contact us. And lower down on the screen, you'll also find where you will get news. But we know very well that people are using the web and their phones in lots of different ways, so we want to catch people's eye in as many quick ways as possible. I want to draw your attention to the very top. It says contact us. And I want to let you know that people that use this particular button can go in and instantaneously transmit a comment directly to somebody in my office. Somebody in my office actually reads that message. We normally respond back within 24 hours. So this information comes to us very quickly, and we're right now using that quite a bit. What we have also here is a direct link to our maps and schedules. When I first came to Votrien 6 years ago, one of the hottest topics that people were asking me about was an individual map for their route. So in other words, if somebody only uses a particular route, you will actually be able to go in here and see listed each route here, and you'll actually be able to pull up, for argument's sake, the 1A North. And when you do that, you're going to actually see the published information for that individual route. The system is taking a few minutes for whatever reason. Here it is. Now, what's really essential for everybody to understand is the information, that particular time point, comes directly out of the scheduler information that is in our AVAIL system that directs the creation of all of our schedules on our buses. So this is an automated way in which this will be updated. It's very advantageous because, as I say, it's a single particular route. And what you can also do is link directly to an individualized map, which shows you the specific time points illustrated in a map format. And for those among our population who have visual challenges and cannot make use of the maps, we have what's called turn-by-turn directions. So people who are blind will actually be able to use their assistive devices on the computer to read out to them how that bus moves throughout the county and for their particular purpose. So that's a particular advantage. You use the VOTRAN logo to return back to the main page. I'm not going to highlight everything. What I want to let you all know about are the interactive elements that we've been able to implement. Very important right now, I'd like to draw your attention to the plan your trip. VOTRAN just was actually able to become live on Google Transit during the past 30 days. So I want you all to know we're on Google Transit. It is a fantastic instrument. It will allow people to actually plan their trip. And what our system actually has is every one of our buses is equipped with a transponder that transmits its actual geographic positioning situation. So again, if I go to this route number one, what I could show to you here with this particular application, which we're calling My Stop. We call it My Stop. It is also an app that can be downloaded on the iPhone platforms. It is not yet available on Android format. We're working with the developer to try to make that happen. But on the anybody who's got a smartphone could actually use their browser to use this, although it's in a much smaller situation. The questions we most often get in customer service and jams up our phone lines constantly is, where's my bus? Well, if you came here and looked on the Route 1, you will actually see this bubble here is telling you that's where the bus is. The bus, unfortunately, is late, but it is inbound, and it's actually positioned at the bus stop number 1902, and the last stop it visited was A1A and Surfside inbound. Now, let's say, for example, you're situated right here, and the way in which you can be sure you're situated right there is you can zoom in just by scrolling. You can also snap on a satellite and say, well, I'm not quite sure where I am here, but maybe I'm here. I think I'm here. You will actually be able to find that that outbound bus that's supposed to be going there is scheduled to arrive. This SDT is scheduled departure time at 10:07 a.m. And as far as we know, by the live information out on the buses and the way in which the bus is now operating, it shows in the green that it should be arriving at 10:07 on time on the outbound trip. So this is information on a particular route. Now let's say you're interested. What's also very useful here are some of the features that have been built into this new version. And one of the features is searchability. So let's say what I was interested in finding was the Route 60, for example, and I don't see it there. I could just quickly click on the Route 60 and it will pop itself up here for me to find. Well, the similar thing happens here in the stops option. What you go when you go to the stops option, you might be standing on ISB, for example, and you want to know where all the bus stops are on ISB. They arrive here at your fingertips. You could click on one and there you are. It's illustrated. The other option here that's very useful is something called a trip planner. The trip planner, again, will link you directly into Google Transit out of our website. You can go anywhere in Google Transit. If you work in Google Maps now and you want to actually go a particular place in Volusia County, and you're used to using that for determining how to drive your car, you can also choose that by going into Google Maps and choosing the bus option. And it will tell you whether or not there is a bus opportunity and give you trip-by-trip, step-by-step instructions. And that's how this works. You indicate a from address. I'm just going to try 950 Big Tree Road. I don't know how much time I have, so I don't want to take too much time. Oh, let me do this illustration. Daytona, and I'm going to, what's the address here, Lois? 2570 West International Speedway. Daytona. Let's see if that works. And Glenn will go now. And I want to plan my trip. Going to actually go out and go into another application. Sometimes things are a little slow on the road. Click here to open the link. It's, for some reason, it's not working. Please try that at home. I want to show you that a very advantageous thing of our new system is the ability to create your own profile. And we're asking people to do that because what you can do by creating your own profile is to create alerts that will tell you when a particular route is running particularly early, or if you're interested in always being notified about the departure times for a particular stop. And also you can subscribe using your profile to our actual news blasts that I've been typically sending out as email alerts from my my own email account. And now we're setting them up so they can work differently. So I'm just going to do this. Hopefully it will work. Okay. It's not working. It worked just before. I want to let you know you should try that also. The login will allow you to set up your own alert profile. And the advantage to that is here, what I'm explaining to you about getting alerts is this information right now is telling you that Route 15 has a detour due to a railroad crossing. And if you click here, you'll see more information about why that has actually occurred. But if you're not able to set up your login, you could do an actual route level instruction. Again, let's just choose A1A North. We're going to do it as an inbound trip, and we're going to just choose a stop to be able to, let's say we want to know at A1A and Lenox the time range. From now on, notify me when the bus is going to be there the next in 10 minutes out, and we could put my my address in here. Set that up as an alert, and it will actually send an alert to my email address. If people will actually go in and set up their login, we're working with the developers so that an individual can choose to get a notification by text, because as you've all been so quick to point out, people are using their phones, tweets, all the rest of it. They're expecting to get information at their fingertips, and by setting up a login, you will be able to do that. So I want to go back to the VOTRAN page and let you see. Those alerts also appear on our front page here. So anybody interested in finding out just, hey, what's going on at VOTRAN, please direct them to go to VOTRAN.org. Even if they don't have a profile, those notices are posted in a way that people can get them either through their profile directions. They can go there if they're looking for information about using the MyStop tracker online, and they can also get them just simply going here. We also have the opportunity, because what we've done with this website is worked with Volusia County Community Information, that allows us now to be able to go in and pull up the new, create an actual notification ourselves out of our office, that this information goes in there. We can go in there, and if we find there's an adjustment that needs to be made to this particular page after I leave this this office or while I'm here, I can notify somebody in my office to actually go in and make that change instantaneously. So we've worked with Volusia County to make that happen, and we're very happy, and they're very happy to have sharing of all of those responsibilities and duties. What we have here is some sliders, and we've set it up so you can go on the slider, click, and go directly to the subject of that slider. So we have SunRail information posted here, and what you'll see is the actual information that's in the guide regarding our scheduled new feeder bus service. And lastly, and I don't want to bore you too much, we have lots of links in here as well, Rethink Gold Service. In our Gold Service, you can go directly in there and get the application, our Gold Service Guide. You can get an audio recording, MP3 download of our Gold Service Guide. So there are lots of features that we have here. We're also going to be posting videos that are instructional videos on how to use some of the applications. I just did some work with the county the other day to help people understand how to make use of that iPhone app. It's called MyStop, all one word, mobile, and it can be downloaded for free right now. And the last thing, please have everybody who's interested in VoteTrend News sign up here in the subscribe button. When you sign up, you're going to get my email blasts that tell you the information either that's going out as a news release, and also for those people in the blind community, they like to get their take ones rather than a pulled off slip that's posted on the bus. They've become used to actually getting their information directly through us in a text format. So that's what we have new from VoteTrend. I'm very glad to have been able to share that with you. Any of you who want some more individual presentation, I'd be very happy to attend any meeting you'd like me to attend. And I also want to draw your attention to this particular schedule that we've put out on the SunRail Connector feeder bus services. If you turn to the Spanish version and open up the inside panel, that's where we're describing what the new connectivity features are. This was the first printed version that we have out of any of our material, so that's why I brought it to you today. I want to remind you that what VoteTrend is showing here has been preliminary and set up based on what we knew as scheduled SunRail arrivals and departures as of the time this went to print, which was now about 4 weeks ago. So we're going to be working with all of our services to make any adjustments and corrections and get new versions out as we can, as soon as we can after the service starts operating May 1st.
Okay, very good. Josh, question?
More of a thank you. I think this is a great initiative. I know we could send a message back to Daytona Beach. Kelly White was a strong voice to get this started as far as getting it on Google and Google Maps. And I've called her to let her know how much I appreciated her. Kind of right when Steve came in, he heard it loud and clear in a meeting that we had with the city, and I think she was definitely vocal about it. Those of you that I know going through the webpage or the website, seems like there's a lot of questions. If you go on the actual app, it's very, very easy. It knows where you're at. You hit a button. You choose. It literally took the mayor about 25 seconds to have it up and going. And it's very, very easy, and I can tell you it definitely changes the way VoteTrend operates. I think you'll view it more as a New York-style transportation rather than how some people view it today, I think, in the community. I think this is a big step. I mean, I think the Google Maps is very, very helpful. Like, I just did my address, and it tells you every route, the money. You just hit a button as far as the prices, the fare, gets you right to the house. But really, that app is really the key, I think, to it. I think tourism. I think we really need to, and I've spoken to VoteTrend about this already, getting to the hotels. I think this is something that our visitors will definitely use because the app is so easy to work with. I think it really simplifies things quite a bit, and it really makes our community and I think our transit system seem into the new century. I think it really puts us on a whole new level, and I appreciate their hard work. This was not an easy task. They've been working on this for a while, so I applaud VoteTrend. I applaud them for getting it done and bringing us into the future. So great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Lee, question?
Yeah, I have a couple. One's back onto Josh. As I was, going to say the same thing about the hotels. Where are those place cards going? Are they going to be in the buses? Are they going to be in SunRail? Are they going to be at the station? Because if people are waiting for the train at the station, they may not take the time to read it. But if they're on the train, it might give them something, additional to do and understand how that's going to go. Plus, I think people in Seminole would be interested in this and to come down and connect as we're trying to make Volusia County a destination, not an export. So Maybe this also somehow needs to get to some of those surrounding counties so people understand that they can come here, the destination to DeBary, DeLand, and all those areas. Also, on this note, I was going to say that comments May 1st, the DeLand Intermodal Transportation Center opens up with the time of SunRail, which will be our major destination for VOTRAN. And the second thing is, as you know, there have been a couple issues with the VOTRAN bus that comes from the east side to the west side, and people being let off at corrections and not having a transfer in a timely manner to get to DeLand. And that seems to be an issue for some of the riders, and those are some of the things that I have heard. I know just from reading the paper that in this last incident that was kind of taken care of, but our concern is what and how is this going to be prevented from happening, because that does give people a reason not to go with VOTRAN and trying to have to find another avenue.
I want to let you know that we understand these questions, and an awful lot of the challenges have to do with not just the congestion, but that there's a lot that goes on the length of trip that happens between the Transfer Plaza and Northgate. The most recent initiative, which will become effective on Monday, because that's the first actual day of weekday trips. Our new schedule is being published. Unfortunately, we don't have it at our fingertips. With as many changes as we had to try to incorporate, and what we've done is published out the SunRail as a separate service from the regular service. We got a little behind in actually getting all of that to the printer. But the new service, and we've put this information out on the buses right now. I've sent it out as a subscriber notice to everybody, and we're going to have people at the Northgate transfer point on Monday to help people understand that people on the 60 bus will no longer have to change a bus at Northgate. They will actually, we have done what's called interlining, so that means that particular bus itself will physically progress down. It will just transfer its sign at when it arrives at that location. It will magically become the Route 20. And nobody who's actually destined to, who would otherwise have to change buses, will no longer have to make that bus change, and vice versa. When they're coming up from the land, it will be a seamless situation. Those people will be able to rest. They won't have to physically get up, change buses at that location, or worry any longer that the bus is leaving without them on it. So those are the changes that we're implementing and will take effect as of Monday.
And that is great, thank you, because that has been an issue for those riders. So I appreciate VOTRAN coming up with that type of solution. So thank you.
A lot of timing, and we've had to actually steal it from some locations. So there will be some people out there that will have some level of inconvenience because there have been some adjustments. Most notably the elimination of the stone section where we used to do sort of like a figure eight in that area. But we had a study done earlier in the year to help us to come up with this solution, and that's what we came up with.
Okay, Pat?
Okay. I went onto the website to try to find the live bus tracker, and on an iPad it doesn't show up really easy, so you all might want to take a look at that.
Okay.
It is not highlighted. It says plan your trip, and then it's not. It's really hard to see it on an iPad, so you might want to take a look at that.
Okay, so this part. Okay, I have an iPad, Pat, so I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay.
But I want to tell you, it is a great product.
Okay.
I think it's wonderful, and it really brings us into the 21st century. I'm very proud of what you all have done on this. I do want to ask about these pamphlets. Where are we going to actually physically put these pamphlets for people? I'm getting a lot of questions about VOTRAN, and I'd like to be able to refer. Is this on the website? This in a PDF?
This is on the website. When people go right on our website right now, they can actually link here and get the SunRail information.
All right, I'm on the website. Tell me where I link.
There are two places. Do you see the sliding? The sliding.
Right. I'm on. Yes.
You just click on that, and you come to SunRail information. And the schedule information is right here.
All right, so I click on the picture, and I get SunRail information.
Yeah.
Okay, but this guide here.
The actual guide in its entirety, we haven't got the entirety of it out there. Right now we're working with just getting this web information out there in the way that it is. The guide itself, we have a system of placing all of these where we have our regular schedules right now. But what we also have, and we'll be working with SunRail on, is the opportunity to put information on the ticket vending machines. So we're going to try to get that out there.
Okay, well, we have a couple of visitor bureaus in West Volusia. Could we get them out to them?
Absolutely, sure.
Could we get them, ask the cities if they... Because all the cities, I think, have the rack cards, if we could host them there.
Yes.
Because people are asking for the information, and
okay, they may not actually realize, even if they see it, they may not actually realize that's what it is. So I'll make sure that each of the cities, any of the places that have our actual passes for sale, the libraries,
libraries
as well
is another
as,
one, yes. Yeah. Also, and then my last question, on the cost, there's in here, I'm trying to, okay. Free transfer. So I'm coming from the Northgate Shopping Center in DeLand. I'm going to get on the VOTRAM to go to the SunRail station.
Yes, you're
going to
get on the Express.
I'm going to get on the Express. I'm going to pay to get on the Express.
Correct.
I'm going to come down to SunRail. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have to pay the base $2 fee.
Correct.
Correct? But
correct.
I'm going to pay when I cross the bridge into Seminole.
You have to actually first purchase your ticket.
Well, I know, but
yes.
I mean that's...
Exactly. So, yes.
Okay. All right. So, if they're riding VOTRAN, there's no base fee. That's what I understand from... Okay.
Absolutely.
Good job. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We worked on it, and I do want to let you know, we realize there's some adjustments. Please be patient with us, because the schedule for SunRail has been slightly adjusting by minutes. And we've had three adjustments just in the last month. So we've been trying to explain to people as best as we could understand at the time of printing, this is what we were going to do. We built in some slack in here, so we believe that the departure times for the SunRail routes will still work with what's going on at the station.
Ed?
Just a brief comment, Dan. It was really neat on the My Stop. You actually can place your stop. It tells you when the bus is going to be there. Put your stop in, tells you the closest stops, and something that's really important to me, it also tells you how many people are on the bus that's coming to get you, how soon it will be there. It's kind of Uber-like it for those of you who use Uber car service in other areas, which we don't have here. You know exactly how many minutes of wait it is for your stop, which I thought was phenomenal. And now we will be able to know how many riders are on our buses going to Ormond instead of depending upon a Texas company telling us it's based upon the miles the bus goes. So that would be exciting from that, since the information is there.
Okay, Jason?
Last year, I visited Austin, and I didn't rent a car, and I used exclusively public transportation. And that, what you just showed us, is more robust than they have there, which is, you know, that's a pretty big city. But one thing as a tourist I found very helpful is they had QR codes on their signs where when you snap them, it would launch right to that route and tell you, you know, you could see how far until that bus arrived to you and what time it was going to get to your stop. Are you going to use a similar technology, or do you have a similar technology?
I would like to draw your attention one more time to this little list of what we have available at this moment in time. We have something called Text the Vote to Go. Actually, when you're on the that particular site, it will tell you what bus stop number you're actually looking at. We are in the process immediately of labeling each and every one of our bus stops with a bus stop number. Right now, if you know this bus stop, I'm going to give you the bus stop for VOTRAN at our office. It's If you text right now, 321123, 321123, if you text a message to that that particular number, all you have to enter as the message is VO for VO and 762. And you will get the next the next time the bus will arrive. And that's available right now.
And you're adding that to your signage?
We're adding that to our signage.
Not just the number, but also how to access it.
We're giving that information. We've designed up a small sign that will be sort of waist high, and it will actually give that information. Text VO. Thank you very much. And you'll get it. It takes seconds to get the information. So so that's the next step that we're at right now. Thank you.
Okay, Lois. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to echo the comments of some of the board members. This particular undertaking for a transit service like BoTran is tremendous. And I want to give credit certainly to the staff and to some of the folks that have been there for a long time, because it relies on certain technology that was put in place a while back. And it is no easy feat to get the attention of a company like Google when you're a small transit agency in Volusia County, Florida. And so, again, I really wanted to compliment the staff and the county on getting this launched, because this is really tremendous and really well advanced of a lot of transit agencies that are out there. And I think that's probably the hallmark of BoTran over the years.
Okay, any more questions or comments? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, ask me any questions. You can reach me at hblank@volusia.org.
All right, moving along, long-range transportation plan. It's Jean.
Actually, we have Martha Moore with Giavi and Associates. She's the consultant project manager, and she's going to talk a little bit about the activities that have been underway here in the last month.
Good morning. As Lois said, I'm Martha Moore with Giavi and Associates, and I'd like to congratulate the TPO on your official name change. You'll note on my slide now I can officially change Volusia TPO on all our documents to River to Sea TPO. And even though the name has changed to River to Sea TPO, one thing that has not changed is the TPO's commitment to a good, viable transportation system to all the users within our boundaries. And both Heather and the speaker before her emphasized the importance of transportation to all users, not just people behind the wheels of your cars, but people that are transportation disadvantaged, or those that ride the bus, people that ride their bikes and they walk. And we have to keep all of those users in mind when we put together our transportation plan, when we're developing the vision of the plan and setting goals and moving forward to that final cost-feasible plan that will come back to you in September of 2015 that will have to be adopted. So as an update on where we are, we've been meeting with the LRTP subcommittee. It's chaired by John Chaney, and they have been overseeing what the work we're doing and have approved and recommended for approval for you a vision statement for the 2040 LRTP, goals, objectives, and performance measures, and then the methodology we're using to develop our socioeconomic data. That's the number of housing units and also employment figures that we'll be basing our transportation modeling on. And the vision statement that has been approved, and we've also brought it forth through the CAC and TCC, is this. Our transportation system will provide a safe and accessible range of options that enhances existing urban areas while providing mobility in a fiscally responsible, energy efficient, and environmentally compatible manner. This integrated system will support economic development, allow for the effective movement of all people, goods, and services necessary to maintain and enhance our quality of life. And we're starting with that vision for the LRTP. And we'll use that to guide, as I said, the development of goals and objectives, and then ultimately to guide the list of improvements that we recommend for 2040. Goals, objectives, and performance measures, think of the vision as at the top of the V. That's the overarching reference frame. We develop goals, they're going to help us achieve that vision. Objectives are just steps to get there. And then we have performance measures, so we'll know that we're actually getting somewhere. We have 6 goals in this LRTP. And last time in the 2035, there were 5. But we've added a 6th goal to reference on safety, which is very important at the federal level right now. And before we go over the goals, I just want to explain we have guidance that we use to develop these goals. It comes from MAP 21 at the federal level and safety, and also from the state and some regional guidance as well. We're trying on this time to keep our goals very succinct, clear, easily understandable, and again, we're emphasizing safety to match up with MAP 21. The first goal is to provide a balanced and efficient multimodal transportation system. This gets back to what we're talking about, not just for cars, but also transit, trails, bicycles, pedestrians, but also a financially efficient transportation system. Our next goal is to support economic development, the movement of freight, access to intermodal facilities so that we can move between trucks and rail and get back and forth between activity centers. What's also important when we're supporting economic development is to have transit access to those employment centers so that we can get the workers to their jobs. We want to enhance connectivity and transportation choices. Again, it's to provide options for people. You know, be able to have multi-use trail sidewalk connectivity and a bus system that moves between the different modes, whether it's, you know, from your house to your job or from your job to retail development. We want to improve safety and security. We are looking at not just vehicular safety, such as crashes per million miles, but we're also looking at bicycle and pedestrian safety and safety of the transit system, as well as emergency evacuation for hurricanes, for example. The next 5 goal, I think, is very important and has had a lot of debate in the LRTP subcommittee. Continue to provide and create new quality places, because ultimately, that's what we all want, is to have a quality place for us to live and work in. We want to be able to enhance the communities that are there, but also to be able to create new ones and protect our natural resources. And our final goal is to provide transportation equity and encourage public participation. You know, the first speaker talking about the Tell the TPO survey, we're going to be using the results of that survey and including them in our public participation plan for the LRTP. And it's very important to reach out to not just the, you know, not just the folks that we see in this room, for instance, but also to get to those who English may be a second language, or the people that are just the environmental justice populations that are harder to reach. And so those are the goals that we've developed. And we're going to talk a little bit more now about the population and employment forecast that will lead in to the transportation modeling. These forecasts will drive the transportation model that will show us what our needs are for 2040. I'm going to let Eliza Harris talk about that right now.
Hi, I'm Eliza Harris with Cannon Associates. We're doing the socioeconomic data forecast for the long-range plan. So why are we forecasting? That's the first question. It's a necessary input to the transportation model. In order to project how much traffic we're going to have in 2040, we have to know where people are going to live and where they're going to work. We can also use this process to highlight the important connection between land use and transportation, and how we plan our communities affects how people use our transportation system. We're going to do 2 different forecast scenarios. The one I'm going to talk about primarily today is the constrained trend socioeconomic data forecast. And that really is the typical way of forecasting. It is looking into how we're growing now and projecting that into the future and determining what transportation needs that will result in. We will also be doing an alternative that's focused on an alternative land use that thinks more critically about how we are projecting our land use and how that's going to impact our ability to use the transportation system efficiently. So what are we actually forecasting? Well, we're forecasting those uses. We're forecasting the traffic generators, which are where people live and where they end up during the workday, as well as a few other things like school enrollment that are also traffic generators. So it's going to be a fairly straightforward methodology this time around. A lot of time and effort was put into the 2035 forecast, and we want to make sure to utilize that to the extent that we can while updating it with the new information that we have since then. So we're working right now with the LRTP subcommittee as well as the TCC committee. And I also want to note, while, again, also congratulations on the name change, in this process, Flagler County is already being projected by FDOT, so that's the projection, the employment projection and population projection that's going to be used. What I'm talking about today is just Volusia County. So what's changed? Well, we have a new 2010 base data that tells us what really happened. And we've projected what we thought would happen through 2010 and 2015, and now we know what really happened at least through 2010 and to some extent through 2013 by looking at the most recent property appraisers data. We also have new control totals, and the University of Florida Bureau of Economic and Business Research projects those totals for every 5 years going through 2040. And so when we actually look at those numbers, the forecast for 2040 looks a bit different than it did previously the last time we did this plan. It's a good bit lower, and that's not incredibly surprising given when we look at the 2005 actuals and the 2010 actuals, there wasn't really any growth between 2005 and 2010. Now we're seeing growth pick up again as you look at the 2013, but growth didn't happen because of the recession as quickly as was anticipated. So part of what we're doing, as I mentioned, is to look at the 2010 actuals versus what had been previously projected for 2015. We're also working with those committees specifically to focus on the employment data and get all of our local jurisdictions to take a close look at those and make sure that what was previously projected still makes sense. And also, as part of this process, the FDOT and the TPO is constantly looking at the TAZ structure, which is a technical piece that's not my focus, but it's something that I have to respond to. Which is how the model works, essentially. And that means that we have to take something that was one traffic analysis zone and split it into two, or sometimes one and split it into four, adjust the boundaries to get the best, most accurate forecast of future traffic that we can get. So just taking a little closer look at the Bieber forecast, this is the Bieber forecast by every 5 years. On the left, you'll see the current forecast that we're working with. On the right, you'll see the forecast that they were working with for the 2035 plan. And those bubbles shifted a little bit. But if you look at the what's currently projected for 2035 right here, that's 580,000. That's very close to what had previously been projected for 2020. So as I mentioned, growth has slowed down relative to what we were anticipating in 2005-2006. These bubbles are in the right place. In talking to the subcommittees, one thing that we asked them for was, are there any major projects on the horizon that we didn't know about the last time we did this plan? And the biggest one that's come up is the Farmington DRI. And so they are projecting, they gave us projections for 2035 and 2060. By 2035, they're expecting a population of about 20,000. Looking at the amount of growth that's going to happen within that time frame, that would represent a significant amount of the growth for the countywide if we use their projections. So that's going to be a consideration moving forward. What percentage of that growth do we actually predict will happen by 2035? Since we're pulling back for countywide to a 2020 projection, that's a consideration for the Farmington DRI as well. So that's the trend forecast, and I'll ask you in a minute if you have any questions on the entire presentation. I'm just going to give you a real short entree into the alternative scenario. This scenario is going to be specifically focused on the types of land development that encourage walking, biking, shorter vehicle trips, such as increasing jobs-to-housing balance and a focus on walkable communities that also support transit usage. You can see the map here, which highlights major transportation corridors and thinking about focusing more development on those corridors. This is for Seminole County, and so we're looking at doing a similar type of framework map for Volusia County that helps us all to have a conversation essentially about where the types of development make sense, where it makes sense to focus development so that development can take best advantage of our transportation investments like SunRail, like improvements to VOTRAN and higher frequency routes. We've seen this work in other places. So there was a major study in Atlanta called Smart Track, and I thought it was really interesting, this quote on the bottom in particular. They found that these are the things that affect how people travel: the land use mix, the density, the connectivity, and those when those are higher, that correlates to fewer vehicle miles traveled, more walk and bike trips, and lower overall emissions. And the thing that was really interesting is that they said this pattern holds true regardless of many other factors, including age, household size, whether or not people had a driver's license, income, access to transit, and regional location. So a lot of those assumptions people make about why people walk and bike or take transit actually didn't hold true when they did this study, that density, land use mix, and connectivity had a much more significant impact than many people would have expected.
Okay, any questions? All right. Oh, Lois?
I just wanted to follow up on a couple of items. I think the consultants did a great job in presenting some information that's pretty dry and technical. But I want to just focus on a couple of particular items. One is, of course, the vision statement and the goals and objectives. This entire presentation is available for you to take back. This is for presentation today, so we would be looking for feedback if you have any, so that we can make sure that we add anything that needs to be added and make any refinements that might need to be made before we come back next month to sort of solidify those and help them carry us through the development of the long-range plan. So again, we would be looking for input on that. The other is that population information. That's a big deal. Now, granted, this is intended to feed a traffic model to give us some information. So, you know, there's not a contract we're committing to. But the fact that we are going to have growth, population forecasted population growth, that's 100,000 persons less than the last long-range plan is pretty significant. Mm-hmm. And that is forecasted at the county level. And if you recall, for those of you that were here, we did not have to consider Farmington in our last long-range plan. So not only will that population distribution be less for each of your respective jurisdictions, some of that will have to be shared with new development down in Farmington. So we'll be working with the staff to try and figure out, and they always do the heavy lifting for you, to figure out how we're going to distribute that population into the future. And it's just an important item to consider.
Okay, Pat?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about procedure on this process. The long-range transportation subcommittee, Lois, that is meeting monthly?
And they have a standard monthly meeting, which will be the Friday after each board meeting to set everything up for the following month so
okay.
that we can carry
who,
recommendations.
Who serves on that board or that
representatives
committee?
From all of our advisory committees.
Okay. And anybody from the TPO?
We don't have a board member represented on that committee. Generally, they carry out the policy and they provide recommendation and they come here for direction from the board.
Well, I guess this is a really important document, and I'm feeling left out. Not me personally, but the organization, the group sitting around here. At what point does this organization, do these people sitting around this table, have an opportunity to weigh in? And that's unclear to me. What happens outside of the transportation subcommittee is. This is supposed to be a public plan.
Absolutely.
And so where does this group come into it, and where does the public come into it?
Each and every month, we'll be bringing information back to this.
So how many times have they met?
We've met
twice.
twice. We're meeting again Friday.
Twice. It's really just.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So it's. Okay. All right.
So one of the things that we used last time and that we'll be bringing back this time is a much more detailed work plan. We'll be reviewing that with the Oversight Committee initially, and that will be very clear about when.
And who's on the Oversight Committee?
Three board members.
Are you on that?
Yes.
You're on
it? Commissioner Gilliland and
Gilliland.
Okay.
Marshall Schultz. As well as TCC and CAC reps, and then staff members. And again, that's primarily making sure that we're on schedule and that the deliverables are what we need. That's more of a contractual project management oversight. It's not policy direction. All the policy decisions come to this board. And as an example, they're drafting up the public involvement plan. That will come back. Is it next month, Martha, for this group?
It should be. It's going to the LRTP.
To review and to provide some input on.
And so when we talk about a vision statement, that hasn't come to this board.
That's today as a presentation, and that's why I said I wanted to be clear. The vision statement and the goals and objectives are being presented for your review and feedback. And if it doesn't seem to be heading us in the direction that you want, or if there's something specifically missing, that we'd be looking for feedback on that.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, Gene?
Just one clarification, if I may. In your mission statement, you used the term, I believe it was urban areas. What is your definition of urban area?
I don't know that we've specifically defined urban in this particular context, but the point here is that we're trying to enhance built environments and not sprawl into environmentally sensitive areas.
Would perhaps urban area include the TPO, which encompasses the urban areas in this Volusia Flagler County?
Certainly the focus would be in the urbanized areas as defined by the census, but again, what I think the committee is looking at here, and I'll defer a little bit because I wasn't involved in the specific subcommittee conversation, it's about preserving and enhancing our existing built environment. And that's consistent with the direction that we get from transportation bills, from planning goals, and I think from what we've been looking at in the past through this TPO board.
Well, obviously, you know, it's subject to some interpretation, and I just didn't want it misinterpreted as being, you know, like a downtown Daytona Beach kind of interpretation.
No, it's certainly not limited to only small portions of our entire planning area. It's focusing on the built environments and trying to enhance and make better use and more efficient systems in those areas.
Okay, Pat?
Yeah, I think Gene has hit on something that probably needs to be better defined, is what is an existing urban area so that everybody understands where we're talking about. Just to say urban areas, there could be a lot of discussion. I think I'd like to see that maybe mapped as part of a follow-up to that.
Okay, Barb?
In looking at, in conjunction with what you're talking about as far as long-range plan, and then also talking about the survey, it seems to me that the documents or the information that comes out of the survey might tell you a bit about what the citizens feel about transportation in the future, rather than just looking at it through the microscope of the planner. But in reading the survey questions here, for Flagler County, I think it would be really helpful for people to answer this, to not only talk about what are the modes of transportation they use regularly, but do they use it for work, or is it for, because we have a lot of people that may not work in Flagler County because of retirement. Mm-hmm. How far do you go when you use your car for transportation? That would tell us a huge amount what we would need to do for planning. But this just says, you know, what do you think we should improve? But it doesn't really define what do you use for your major transportation. Because in Flagler County, it's a car. That's all there is to it. But I was wondering if there's an opportunity to add another question or two in here that might help with long-range plan.
To be sure, every survey you do leads to another 100 questions you wish you had asked. But it's a real delicate balance between keeping it short enough to get people to do it and complete it. And I think what we're hoping here is it gives us a guide. And as I mentioned, there's a public involvement plan specifically for the long-range plan that will include a lot of other outreach beyond just this survey. And that's where we have the opportunity to ask more detailed questions. And certainly there will be some differences as we see within the existing planning area when we move from community to community, what those particular needs are. And those are, that's the challenge for us, is to try and get at that detailed information.
Lee?
Of course, any time we do a plan and we're used to the LRTP and what that means, and the TPO and what that means, and the TIP and what that means, and one of my major comments to all of these, and it's sometimes left out, is some sort of list of definitions and or abbreviations, and it makes the document or people a little uncomfortable to participate in something that they really don't understand, especially if you're asking those questions in a survey. And sometimes just defining it in a survey the first time, LRTP means X, and then you expect them to remember what that is when they're trying to concentrate and figure out how to do the survey and what that means. So I would be, really careful about that, and that might be an area where some of those definitions like urban area could be. And so not only have a list of the acronyms, but also have an area for definitions or explanations.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments? All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Next we go to the DOT report with Claudia.
Good morning, Claudia, FDOT. I have one project to report on. It's a resurfacing project on State Road 40, Ormond Beach, locally known as Granada Boulevard. The limits are Timber Creek Road to Perot Drive. In addition to the resurfacing, there will be some minor roadway and shoulder whitening. We will upgrade three signal intersections at Williamson, Clyde Morris, and Old Tomoka Road. And in addition to that, we have an agreement with the City of Ormond to connect a sidewalk at Bermuda Estates Drive.
Okay.
And that's all I have. And I'll take any questions.
Pat?
Yeah, Claudia, there's a meeting tomorrow night in Deltona. Could you tell us how that got noticed? Because I did not get that notice. I had my IT department confirm that there was no notice that came to me as the district council member. I'm a little concerned.
Was
I'm a lot
it sent
concerned.
To staff? I'm curious.
Pardon me?
Volusia County
it
staff.
It was to the elected officials. So I don't know who it went to. I would like you to go back and have your IT department confirm who on the county council got that notice. And if it was not properly noticed, you need to redo the meeting.
I'll look into that. Sorry.
Well, this is one of the biggest projects we've got going, and proper notice wasn't given.
Thank you, Pat. I just do want to mention, Lois did mention that to both the Director of Transportation Development and myself, and Frank has looked into it, and we're trying to find out how it got missed, what list was actually sent out. So we are following up on that. We will get back with you. I also want to apologize, Norian and Frank both are not here today because we're doing the I-4 managed lane selections this morning, so they're not here, but he did want me to apologize for it.
Well, apology is accepted, but it needs to be redone then.
We agree with you.
Joyce?
Thank you. I saw this morning that, and I've heard that the I-4 construction will be completed early 2015. Could you tell me when in early 15 are you talking? Is it on schedule, and when do you expect a completion?
I'll have to look into that. As far as I know, it's on schedule. If finishing earlier, I'll look into it.
Yes, just a little. Not very much more. We are trying to move it up. Right now, I don't think the schedule has been confirmed yet, but we are doing our best to try to move that schedule up. So it should be coming out pretty soon.
So you don't know if this early 15 is even correct?
I believe that it's going to be in 15. I don't know if it'll be early 15. But we can get that information to Lois and get it sent out. But we are trying to advance it as much as we can.
Thank you. If you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Absolutely. We need to have, if possible, to pin that down.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Lee, did you need a comment?
Yeah. I have two comments. One is a big thank you to DOT. I really don't think people really realize, unless you go and ask, what DOT will help and do. And I'm referring to the Bike Florida event where we had 600 cyclists in Volusia, on the east side of Volusia County and into Flagler. And I'd really like to thank Terry Phillips. DOT was instrumental in helping us get all those cyclists either through a construction that couldn't be stopped, or helping us to get by and stopping construction. And all it takes is a minute to ask if you really have an issue that needs to be addressed, so thank you. But also on top of that, we're also seeing a little bit of a problem already with SunRail and taking the freight off of the line. I know they've been working to do the freight off of the line to get them ready for everything to go on schedule for May the 1st. And what's happened in DeLand is it's involving the DeLand Spur. And my understanding, and I may not have the hours exactly right for freight, but freight is going to move on the line from like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and then pick up later in the evening, like from 9 or 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And in our spur, it goes right through a residential neighborhood. There's, even though it's industrial on both sides of the spur, it's in our historic area and residential. And what we're finding is they're delivering at 10, 11, and midnight. And the way that spur is located is you have to come down, and then the train has to not turn around, but they have to take off the locomotive and bring it back. Well, every time they move that train, they have to blow the whistle. And at midnight in a residential neighborhood, it is just not going over too well there, and it's causing quite a disturbance. So I don't know, because it is a spur and there's not a lot of, in my opinion, deliveries through there. If we could look at maybe making that deliverable from like 10 to 3 or whatever that morning and afternoon is, and I'd like to really start to address this sooner than later.
I will certainly take that back and get back with you.
Okay, Barb?
Yes, I just wanted to thank FDOT for finally finishing the paving through Flagler Beach and over to I-95, and I know that Halifax Paving was the lead on that. They had a lot of issues they had to stop for that wasn't in their contract, but they did it. Every time there was an issue, they stopped, and then they started again, so we really appreciate that. And also thank you for the June start of our final bridge on 305. That's a huge final event for us, and FDOT has worked with us on our farming community, trying to always sort of try to miss the plant stage or the harvest stage or whatever, even though we still hit the farm community, because a lot of our labor for farms comes from Volusia up 305, and so it really makes a huge detour for the labor in our farms. So that's really important. And then lastly, I know you were checking on the signage on the bike paths of the new paving area versus the pavement signage. Last meeting I asked, and I know you've been talking to staff about that and whether or not we could pull the signs down. I know it's the new reg, but would love to get the painted bike on the bike path on 100.
Okay. I'll get with you after the meeting.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Lois? No. See? Well, Lois, did you have a comment?
I did. I just wanted to follow up on Councilmember Northey's comment on the I-4 public meeting. There is information at each of your stations. We actually just received that information, and we'll be posting it and trying to get that public notice out. The TPO, as an organization, was not included on the public notice. And so we do have that posted, or we'll be posting that as soon as this meeting ends. And I would appreciate anybody else's support in trying to get that information out so that they actually do have a turnout. And I'll talk a little under my comments.
All right. And Big has a question, I think.
Can the FPOG tell us how much the Bernard project is?
Big now.
How much the Granada project is.
According to this document, it's $4.2 million.
All right, thank you very much. Any further questions? Okay, and finally, Lois, your report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regards to reapportionment, I mentioned earlier in my discussion that we are still trying to work through the review of the three interlocal agreements that are required to actually execute and create the new TPO and form those relationships that we need to have with regional planning councils. I had hoped that we would have that completed by the May agenda, but it is looking like the review process is going to take a little longer. That may not occur until June. We continue to work with our new members and continue to invite them to be a part of that process, but we certainly need to give enough time for all of your respective areas to also review the documents once they make it through our legal counsel and DOT's legal counsel and get those agended to authorize you all to sign onto that interlocal agreement. Legislative update, there's really two issues that I really want to focus on. One is the Senate Bill 218, which allows that flexibility in the state funding program to fund trail projects. And I mentioned this last meeting, but it was pretty quickly discussed. And this was a legislative priority for this TPO to try and increase the funding for that trail for regional trails. And Senate Bill 218 is the proposed legislation that would help do that. I also wanted to call your attention to the Florida Water and Land Legacy referendum that'll be on the next ballot. And this proposes to use dock stamp funding for a variety of land and water issues, maintenance issues, to be able to maintain some of the lands, I think, that were acquired under Florida Forever. Just the issue and the relationship with transportation. Currently, dock stamp funds are in part used for transportation, and the Water and Land Legacy would take 30% of dock stamp funding. And to give you an idea, dock stamp funding in recent years was over $100 million that was transferred into transportation. But one of the reasons that that number is where it is because there was some debt service that was being paid down. The forecast over the next several years is somewhere around $350 to $400 million that would be transferred into the Transportation Trust Fund. obviously when 30% of the dock stamps are being used for another point, that will have an effect. Now, just to give you an idea, items that are currently funded by that dock stamp money is the SCOP, Small County Outreach, New Starts, Transit Programs, the Strategic Intermodal System, Florida Rail Enterprise, and Transportation Regional Incentive Program. So, again, I'm not necessarily taking a position, but just making sure that we do keep an eye on this and at least understand how it may impact some of the transportation funding that's available in the future. As far as SunRail, again, SunRail is still on schedule to start on May 1st. The 2 weeks of service are free. And the SunRail team expects to have ambassadors at each of the stations to help folks navigate boarding and deboarding the trains and getting tickets and getting accustomed to the vending machines. So hopefully everybody will get a chance to come out and see how that operation is going to get kicked off. And also, we have a values study. This TPO contributed a small portion to a values study that was being done in the region. And there was a briefing, a very limited audience briefing that was held to sort of discuss the preliminary findings of that research. And this was through a company called Heart and Mind. And they try to get at what the sense of a community is regarding a variety of issues. And in this case, the focus was not transportation. It was all community issues. But transportation always seems to play a large role anytime we're talking to stakeholders in the community. So there was a lot of research done, and that research will be presented in an event in Orlando on June 19th. So for those of you that are interested in seeing some of the results of that survey, June 19th. If we haven't sent out that information, we'll be sending that out very soon. And then finally, I wanted to mention for those of you that weren't aware, there was a county council discussion last Thursday, and it was primarily regarding two issues. And one of the, and both of, that are very pertinent to this group, one of the issues has to do with the boundaries of the systems study that is underway, what we keep calling the AA and what we originally requested as an AA, alternatives analysis, excuse me. And the boundaries that were included in that scope are somewhat limited in going from 472 and the SunRail line along I-4 to the Daytona Beach Airport, extending up to the DeLand Station and along 92, again, over to the airport. And the discussion at the council was that that needed to be broadened. And I can tell you there was input prior to that scope being written suggesting the same thing, that, you know, we don't have a SunRail station at 472. And what may happen in phase two is uncertain until there's funding. So the recommendation was to broaden that. Now, the county council took action to broaden that down to the Seminole County line, to I-4 and Seminole County line, and also to recognize that the Daytona Beach Airport may not be the end point of whatever the locally preferred alternative is. And so I wanted to bring that up and see if there was interest in this board in echoing that same sentiment regarding the systems planning study. The other issue is what was brought up here already, at least in part, which is the I-4 managed use lanes, PD&E. And there has historically been a rail envelope on I-4 from end to end in Volusia County, starting at the Seminole County line and extending all the way to I-95. And as a part of the PD&E activity, the Department of Transportation has been looking at options that would take away that rail envelope, at least up to 472, from Seminole County line to 472. And you all may recall that in September, we had the project manager for DOT here, and she gave a presentation on that. Lee, you asked questions about the I-4 and the rail envelope at that point, and it was stated that as we work through the PD&E process, there would be opportunity to make clear whether this TPO supported that maintaining an I-4 envelope or not. The public meeting that is tomorrow night is presenting alternatives and a cross-section that does not preserve an envelope. This board has never taken a position to remove the rail envelope. When the widening, the six-laning, occurred on I-4 from the Seminole County line up through 472, there was widening to the inside, and that was done as a temporary measure in order to reduce the amount of right-of-way that would be required to reduce the cost of the six-laning so that that project could move forward at an earlier date. But the commitment by DOT at that time was that that would be corrected in the future if, indeed, we wanted to maintain that rail envelope. So we can, and I'd be happy to listen to the discussion, take some particular direction today. We can agenda this item and come back with a formal discussion at next month's meeting. We can certainly do something as an interim measure and discuss it more fully next month. I'd look for some direction from the board members on that.
Pat? Well, we had quite a robust discussion at council last Thursday, and I think that the council was unanimous in our position that we did not ever want to give up that rail envelope, because once you give it up, trying to get something back is difficult. And interestingly, I was speaking to a gentleman yesterday about a project that they're doing in another location where they indeed gave up a rail envelope, and then actually I think it's in Virginia, decided to go back and dig up the old rail envelope and in fact found the tracks, and but they had to go back and purchase that property. And so I appreciate that this is difficult for Department of Transportation because it does impact some of their cost. There will be additional right-of-way that would be required, but it would be my hope that this TPO would echo strongly the position that the council took, and that we want to maintain a rail envelope. In fact, I think our discussion was that we ask for it to be maintained across the bridge to Seminole County, where the rail actually crosses over in Seminole County, because there's opportunity with an alternative analysis to look at a spur, maybe not out of DeBerry or out of DeLand, but out of Sanford, coming up through the bridge and in through the I-4 rail envelope. So I don't know whether this group wants to hear a full-blown presentation, but I can tell you that the council felt very strongly about this at last council's Thursday meeting, and I would like to take action today. I understand if there is some concerns or questions or they want a full briefing, but clearly we need to send a strong signal that this is important to Volusia County, not just about this alternative analysis, but about future transportation.
Okay, Lee?
After I saw that in the paper, you know, I was really concerned and wondered who put that together, because everything that we have said on the alternatives analysis and what we were looking for included the I-4 envelope. Mm-hmm. It included from 472 west. And multiple times we said here that the airport may not be the place. I mean, we even talked about buying the or having something to do with that golf course that's right there at the tracks of I-4 and Bevel Road going in there. So it really concerns me that whoever wrote this was not taking into consideration everything that we have discussed for about the past year, that there's only part of it that there's looking at, which I think is going to bring more questions, which is going to bring another alternatives analysis, which is going to cost everybody a lot more
money, and I don't understand where that disconnect is or was. So I strongly support what Pat's saying. I think that this is something we have discussed at length, and my interpretation of what was said and what was written was not what this board had been discussing. So I certainly agree the sooner the better, so it doesn't get lost again. I think we need to stay on top of it. It's cost all of us a lot of money and a lot of time already and a lot of discussion, and I think we should keep the plan that we have, and I would support taking action on this item as well, even though it's not on the agenda.
Okay, Ed?
You said the meeting is tomorrow night, I guess. Will there be time for comments after that meeting, or is that the time? Usually there is a period of time that something should be done. I don't know that it's necessary right now. I would suggest that anyone that can attend that meeting maybe attend it and speak individually or something, but to rush to do that when we do have adequate time. And it seemed like the die was cast when they did the widening to include the inside, that it was going to be pulled off because the expense is going to be tremendous to go back and correct all that, and that was the intent at that time, hoping that it would never come back, that we wouldn't want it. I think I agree with what Lee said. I don't know that we ever said we didn't want to keep that as a viable option. So I would like to see it go back to the executive board committee and come back as a full discussion item so that we could take action on it then.
Is that a motion?
That would be a motion.
Okay, second. You second it? All right. Any? I also want to note we have 8 people that have left already because of the length of our meeting. So. I think that we would.
Do we not have a quorum?
Best.
Are we?
I'm not sure if we do or not.
We do have a quorum.
Okay. Well, either way, you know. All right, Gene?
Well, it seems to me, and most of you are aware, that I was not in favor of the widening in the first place. I thought it was too expensive and silly based on the lack of demand, if you will. This proposal seems to me to be double silly. Why take away the option of a rail lane to do the project in the first place? And I would totally agree that that view should be, if it is the view of the majority of the TPO board, that view should be presented and should be known to whoever's operating this meeting. And I would agree with Pat and Lee that view should be, if it is the majority here, that it should be presented, voted on here, even as a preliminary. I know what the motion is, that not to delay until later. However, it seems to me that, again, if it is the intent of this board not to... or to oppose the taking of that lane, I think it should be done now.
Okay. Is that a motion? We have a motion.
We have a motion.
We do have a motion. I would like to amend that motion, if I may, to have a full report, but that we establish a preliminary opinion at this point, perhaps not binding until the full report is in, but at least to get our opinion known to FDOT officially.
Ron, go ahead and give your comment real quick.
I agree wholeheartedly with the maintaining the rail line down through the middle. I agree that should be a strong voice from this board. Maintain that property. Don't give it up. But I think we also need to remember we have some long-range planning stuff in our area over there that could be affected by this immediately, too. And particularly in Orange City from Rhode Island to Normandy and Deltona, that overpass, which wouldn't be an interchange, just an overpass. That bridge being built, would it be affected by that road underneath of it? So the full report to the cities and this board, I think would be very important as to what's going on.
Okay, so we have a motion to table the vote, but ask for a full report at the next meeting. Is that correct?
No. It's an amendment to the main motion.
Yeah, Gene's was an amendment.
I second it.
All right, so now we have a second to the amendment. And
that basically kills the motion.
That's what I'm saying. It does because
no.
Because he's calling for an opinion, but it's basically a vote.
I'm suggesting that the timing.
What you're used to doing, you're killing the motion.
Just the timing.
You're killing the motion.
Okay. All right. So we have a vote on the amendment. Is there any further discussion? All right. The amendment is that we would take an opinion poll or a vote right now. All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we have two opposed. All right. So that means we go ahead. All right. So now we go ahead and we will take a vote on approval of the
amendment.
The amended, which means that we decide how
that
we want to stand
a full
with
report,
the full.
That there be a full report presented as Mr. Kelly suggested.
Suggested, okay, at the next meeting.
And then we can revise our opinion after having had the full report.
But that our opinion today is that we...
Non-binding.
Is a non-binding opinion today.
Yes, true.
All that's right. Okay, is everyone... All right, so now we are going to vote on Ed's motion that we have a full report, and that has been seconded. All those in favor of that full report at our next meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All right. With a non-binding opinion.
With a non-binding opinion right now. Anyone opposed? Okay. Now we have our opinion vote. Is that correct? Which you have asked for. That's the amendment into the main motion. Okay. So.
Does the staff understand what we just
said? You have to have a separate motion for that.
We need a separate motion for the amended motion. All right. Do I have a motion that we take the opinion?
I would move poll? That we take an opinion poll on this issue now.
Right now. Do we
second.
Have a second? We have a second. Yeah. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Anyone opposed? All right. Now we ask all those in favor of...
It's all done.
All right, so do we get our opinion poll right now?
All right.
Okay.
Is
and
the staff understanding what's going on? It's the only thing I ask.
My understanding is it's the consensus of this group that we have not changed our position on maintaining a rail envelope. And then
through Volusia.
Yes, and I can represent that at the public meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
But that we'd be looking for a full presentation on next month's meeting where we will take a position.
A binding vote. Is that correct? Okay. All right. All right. All those in favor of the position that we have taken concerning the railway envelope, is that how we refer to it? Say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Amen. Okay, so we're straight on that? All right, thank you so much. All right, Lois, anything else?
I just want to make sure that I'm clear also on the boundaries of the systems study. Are we also, is it also the direction of this board to communicate to DOT that as a board we also support flexibility in broadening the boundaries of that study to not preclude recommendations that may create a more efficient and effective system out of that AA. At the end, what we want is a recommendation that makes sense. And if we limit the choices by an arbitrary boundary at this point or too restrictive a boundary, then we may not get to that answer as well.
I thought that's what we just did.
I think what we just did was only concerning the rail envelope, so it...
Oh, okay, so you're...
Yeah. So we're. She's asking, I'm thinking, for what we just did, but a non-binding opinion that will go into this presentation about how we felt about this whole corridor and the analysis including everything, and if that's what you're asking for, I make that motion.
So a motion for less restriction.
Directing us to communicate to DOT that we would like them to broaden the boundary.
I'll make that motion.
I already did.
Right, so here's a second. All right, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye. Oh, Ron, go ahead.
Okay, I want to clarify this. I was underneath the impression that study, we were not tied down to rail. It could be any kind of...
That's correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it is the term, using the term rail in the motion, I kind of feel nervous about, because the study could come back for any kind of transit.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, this is not specific to rail. This is specific to the systems study that is underway and the boundaries of that systems study.
The rail was first. This is the whole area of what we've been talking about.
That I understand, but twice I've heard mentioned rail corridor, and it's not.
Not on this discussion.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. We've had a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Thank you. All right. Lois, anything further? I don't believe so. You're
That's
done?
It.
All right, any comment, final comments from members? Okay, Pat?
Just very quickly, yesterday in conference, budget conference at the state, there's $15.5 million that came out of the conference budget for the coast-to-coast connector. We expect the governor to sign that. But what that leads me to is a discussion that we need to have, and I don't know that it needs to be discussion here, Lois, or just how we do it, but we have got to find a way. Lee and I have talked about how we make sure that Edgewater, New Smyrna are considered an entry point on the coast-to-coast connector. That's very important for Volusia County. And once this gets signed off by the governor, we've got to be ready to have our plan together. And I know I've talked to both Edgewater and New Smyrna, and they're working on an alignment. We've got to be ready to say we're it, too, so that it isn't just Titusville. So you and I have talked about that, if we can maybe just stay on top of that. And then finally, for me, SunRail on May 6th, I'm taking a group down to Orlando on one of the free SunRail rides. If anybody wants to go, let me know. We're gonna have a good time. May 6th, it'll be the 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., if they still keep that time out of DeBary. And I had a question on when they're advertising May 1 through 16, does that include weekends, or they're not doing weekends? Because it's unclear whether they're going to run the train on weekends.
No, there's nothing.
Well, okay. Because there's a lot of people thinking it's going to run Saturday and Sunday because of the way it's being advertised.
Okay. All right. Any other comments? All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Move to adjourn.